like the story about the husband that was sitting at the dinner table. And he really enjoyed the dinner that his wife had prepared for him. And he asked her, "What did you marinate this in?" And his wife immediately went into this long explanation about how much she loved him and how they've been through a lot of peaks and valleys over the last 40 years, but she wouldn't have it any other way. And she explained what a joy it was to be married to him. And on and on and on she went. Eventually, she looked at her husband, and because he had this puzzled expression on his face, and she asked him a question. She said, "Why did you ask me that?" And when he told her that he asked her, "What did you marinate this in?" she chuckled, and she said, "I thought you asked me, would you marry me again?" And she left the room, and the husband called out, "Well, will you marry me again?" And she said, "Vinegar and barbecue sauce." "Would you marry me again?" Sometimes you'll hear about a couple that will do that. They've been married 30, 40, or 50 years, and they will have a ceremony where they renew their vows, and they express their commitment to one another once again. And they say that, "I pledge to love you just as I did 50 years ago. I pledge you to love you today as much as I did then." And I think that's a similar thing in this passage that we're going to read this morning. If you want to turn your Bible to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. And in Joshua chapter 24, Joshua is old and he knows he's going to die soon. And it's time for a new generation to rise up and decide whether or not they're going to follow in the footsteps of their fathers. It was time for that generation to make a choice. And so Joshua calls all the people together at Shechem, where the tabernacle was set up. And he says to them, "You need to choose today who it is that you're going to serve." But he says it this way in Joshua 24 at verse 14. "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil or if it is undesirable," some versions say, "in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your father served in the region beyond the river or the God of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Joshua brings these people, the children of Israel, to the point of decision. And he challenges them to choose God again. And I want us to think about that this morning. To choose God, to be committed to God once again as we begin this new year. But before we really talk about these verses here, I'd like for us to drop back and just think about how Joshua begins this great sermon, if you will, in Joshua chapter 24. The Israelites are several years into their journey into the promised land that God had promised them. In Joshua, this old man can see the finish line. And as I said, he brings everyone together as they've conquered the land of Canaan. This is his last formal address to the Israelites. But really what he says is, "What I'm saying to you doesn't originate with me, but it comes from God." He says in verse 2, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel." And what he does is, before he brings them to this point of decision in verses 14 and 15, is that he reminds them of God's faithfulness throughout the years. Throughout the time, God has been with them. And he's not just reminding them in a very general way, but as you read Joshua chapter 24, he reminds them in very specific ways just how God has been faithful to them. He mentions Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and leading them out of Egypt. He parts the Red Sea. He mentions about the victory over the enemies on the east side of the Jordan. And then in verse 11, he says, "You went over the Jordan, came to Jericho, and the leaders of Jericho fought against you. And also the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And I gave them into your hand. And I sent the hornet before you, which drove them out before you, the two kings of the Amorites. It was not by your sword or by your bow." And you think about the people that would hear this. They fought the battles. They were the ones who had these all-night marches. They worked hard. And God is not denying that they battled. but he is reminding them that the only reason that they were successful is because God was with them. They always had the presence of God. Of God. You remember in the early part of Joshua, when they crossed the Jordan, it was the ark that went before them and went into the river, reminding them that God was leading them, that God was in the front. And so he's just reminding them that it's because of God, because of his power and his might. Reminds me of salvation. We couldn't be anything, we couldn't do anything apart from Jesus Christ and the salvation that God offers in his Son. But having said all of that, that leads us now back to Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15, where he challenges them to make a choice. And he tells them to make this choice. And he says this, to put away the gods or to throw away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt. So think about this. Let's get this straight. Joshua reminds them of how they have been successful and conquered this promised land by the hand of God. And yet he is telling them, you need to get rid of the idols that are in your possession. You need to throw them away. Put them away. And you think, they're still carrying around idols after all that God has done for them? He mentions the God of their forefathers. And he mentions the gods of Egypt and the gods of the Amorites and in whose land you dwell, like the god of Molech would be included in that. In some of these gods, going all the way back to the beginning, they were traveling with them for security. And what this passage, I think, reveals to us this morning is that you can make a commitment to God in the past. And just because you became a Christian, and just because you've experienced the life that is found in Jesus Christ, the abundant life, that doesn't mean that your commitment to God cannot diminish over time. It doesn't mean that you can't pick up a few idols along the way. Nor does it mean that maybe we've thrown away some certain idols that may have even been passed down to us from generation to generation. I think if we would examine our lives, we might find some layers of idolatry in our own lives, in our own families, that we constantly need to guard against, that we constantly need to look to see whether or not we're carrying these idols around for security. You know, just a quick definition of an idol is something that you allow to control your thoughts and your actions. It's what you desire most. It's what you pour your resources into, your time, your energy, and you will pursue it no matter the cost. And so every now and then, it's good for us, and I think it's good for us this first Sunday of the year, to evaluate, to take stock, and to consider whether or not we have some idols that we need to throw away, some idols that we need to put away, because it's possible for us to drift from God and into idolatry. Have you picked up any idols in the past year? Joshua says, throw them away. And that's why then he brings them to this point of decision. Choose this day whom you will serve. And you think about our choices, the decisions that we make. They reveal our devotion. If you show me your choices and your decisions, I'll show you where your passions are. If you look at my choices and my decisions, reveal my passions, my priority. They reveal where my heart really is. You think about choices, they go back all the way to the garden. God created man with free will, and he put them in this perfect environment. And it was pretty simple. If you obey me, you live. If you disobey, you die. That was really the choice. It was that simple. I'm not saying the choice was easy, but what I am saying is that the choice isn't complicated, sometimes maybe as we might make it seem. The Bible doesn't spell out a lot of options. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 that there are two roads, there are two gates. Paul mentions in Colossians chapter 1 around verse 13 and 14, there is a dominion of darkness and there is a kingdom of light. There is not a third kingdom that you can hang out in and say, well, I'm just going to park it right here until I decide which kingdom or which domain I want to be a part of. There are only two choices that we can make in our lives. Bible may not say the choice is easy, but that choice is not complicated. It's either God or Satan. And you think about Jesus in his ministry as you read the Gospels. Jesus was constantly pushing people to the point of decision. I think Joshua does the very same thing. You read Joshua 23 and 24, and it's some of the best preaching that you'll ever read here in these chapters. And I believe that Joshua shares with us some basic principles about choices, the choice that we all need to make. And I just want to share with you four of them this morning. First of all, I think what we learn from Joshua chapter 24 is that we need to choose personally. Choose personally. The choice is yours and yours alone. Joshua says, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. This principle is so simple, but it is so crucial for us to grasp that no one can choose God for you. No one can do that. Nobody can choose God for you. And according to Joshua, when it comes to serving God, you have to choose. It can't be your spouse. It can't be your parents. It can't be a preacher or an elder or anybody else. It has to be your choice to make. And I think about the fact that faith can be passed down. It should be passed down from generation to generation, but faith cannot be inherited. It has to be taught and it has to be accepted. And you know, you have to choose personally to serve God, because the reality is that at the end of time, on the day of judgment, we're going to be judged individually. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. Each one of us are going to give an account personally for our choices in life. I think this is so important. You think about all the little kids that we have running around here and that we put in our Bible classes. And, you know, the fact of the matter is the little kids, as much as they want to go to class, it's not like they have a choice. I mean, we sometimes leave ours and they're kicking and screaming. But at some point, though, as they get older, what we want from them, what we want from our children, is to teach them the way of God as they're young. But as they grow older, what we want is for them to have a faith of their own. What we want from them is for them to reach a time in their life where they say, this is my choice. That's what's going to make the biggest difference in the lives of our children, is when they choose that I'm going to serve God because I believe and I want to obey God. You think about Joshua. Joshua owned his faith. Joshua owned his faith. You can look at his life and look at the choices that he made and see that he made a stand for God. Even all the way back at Mount Sinai, he stood with Moses when the people of Israel were worshiping that golden calf. Joshua stood with Caleb when the Israelites said, there's no way we could take the land. There's giants there. It was Joshua who made the choice to stand with Caleb and to say, we can take the land. Joshua owned his faith, and his life was really the sum of choices that he personally made. And I want you to consider this morning that in 2019, you're going to be faced with similar choices as well that Joshua had to make about his faith. You're going to be in some tough situations in your life where you're going to have to make a choice of where it is that you're going to stand. And it has to be a personal choice. Jesus would say in Luke chapter 14 and verse 27, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You have to choose to stand and take up your cross. You can't carry my cross and I can't carry your cross. You must choose to serve and live for God personally. Second of all, you must choose purposefully. Choose purposefully. He says, throw away those gods your forefathers worship. In other words, what he's saying is that you need to choose God and you need to get rid of any threat, any idol that is threatening to be seated on the throne of your heart. You need to get away and throw away any idol that is competing for the allegiance of the one true living God. So Joshua says, choose for this day whom you will serve. And really what Joshua acknowledges is that multiple idols abound. Canaan was an idol factory. Doesn't it sound much like our culture today? We live in a world where idols abound. We live in an idol factory as well. And the reality is that we all serve someone or something. really serving God. We either choose to serve the one true living God or we're choosing to serve idols. There's really not an option at all. But the option of the choice is who it is that you're going to worship. Whom it is that you choose to serve. You have a choice on that. I think that the amazing thing about this in this context is after all that God had done to deliver them, part the Red Sea. I mean, just remember how he led them through the wilderness, crossing over the Jordan, driving out the Canaanites. After all that they'd seen from God, they're still holding on to these false gods that have never delivered them from anything. And Joshua was asking the question, why do you still have these idols? Why are you still holding on to these gods? And I wonder how much we're like these Hebrews. After all God has done for us, in all of God's daily care, in all of God's daily provision. Now, I mean, none of us in 2018 dealt with extreme poverty or extreme starvation. God has provided us with our daily bread. But yet, have we struggled this past year with other allegiances? As we look back on the past, have we struggled with our allegiances? Have we given our time and our energy and our devotion to other false gods? Or I might say, have we given our time and our energy and our devotion to things that are eternally trivial? I say eternally trivial on purpose because for most of us, the struggle was not resisting something that is just so overtly evil. That's not the struggle that many of us have. But for some of us, the struggle is resisting the seduction of something that in and of itself isn't evil, but it is eternally trivial. That can be our problem, that we can become just tranquilized by the trivial matters of life, and they can consume our thoughts and our attention and our energy. I'm reminded of the end of 1 John. In 1 John chapter 5, I think it's interesting how this letter ends in verse 21. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. And that's basically what Joshua is saying as well. Stay away from idols. Throw these idols away. Don't let anything come between you and your service to Christ. And see, the reality is that we often just drift away from God and we drift into idolatry. I mean, you've read stories. I've read stories of individuals. I think one, he got in a plane one time and he bought this plane and he fixed it up and he spent all night just getting it ready to go and take his friend to show his friend at another airport. And in the morning he took off and as he gets in the air, he falls asleep. And a few hours later, he wakes up and he looks down and he wonders, wonder what lake I'm over. Then he realizes that he's not over a lake. He's out in the middle of the ocean. He's far off the Gulf Coast and he calls for help, but he doesn't make it back and he's rescued. But his $80,000 or $90,000 plane, whatever it is that he spent on the plane, went to the bottom. I think about our lives in that way of falling asleep and drifting. And we get going and we get our lives put on autopilot and we never stop to ask the question, am I headed in the direction that I want to go? I mean, the choices that I'm making in my life, are they putting me on a course of where I want to go? And what I'm trying to say is that we must deliberately choose to keep our lives focused on God. Because if we don't choose God, we're going to drift into idolatry. You don't drift into obedience. You decide to get there. You choose to obey. Choose purposefully. Next, I want us to consider the fact that we choose persistently. We choose persistently. You think about what Joshua says, choose for yourselves this day. And then he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But really, what Joshua is saying is in the way that this is written, he says, I have chosen and I will continue to choose to serve God no matter what. Because Joshua understands that decisions aren't made just once. They must be renewed every day. And you think about these people. Well, they've chosen God in the past. I mean, didn't they choose God when they decided to march around the walls of Jericho and obey God's command? I mean, they have already chosen God. But you see, what Joshua is saying is that you can't live on yesterday's choices. You have to choose today, in the present, whether or not I am going to live for God. Why is that? Because we need to recognize that every day we have the temptation as we walk along life's road to stop and pick up an idol and carry it with us. That's why we need to choose God every day of our lives. Jesus would say in Luke chapter 9 at verse 23, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." So choose it every day. I'll take it today. I'll pick my cross up today, Lord, and make that determination every day. And that's a result of intentional, deliberate thinking and choosing. Choose persistently. But then finally, I want to say this, that we need to choose publicly. We need to choose publicly. Joshua says this to the people of Israel, that we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He said, I'm trying to bring you to the point of decision, but I can't choose for you. As difficult as that is sometimes for us, that we want to make someone obey. We want to grab them by the arm and say, come on, obey. Do what you know to do is right. We can't do that. But we can make our own choice, and we can stand up and we can say, I will serve the Lord. Faith is personal, for sure. It's individual. That is, we all have to make our own choice. That doesn't mean that our faith is private. I think about Galatians 2 in verse 20. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. Crucifixion was a very public thing, was it not? I mean, when Rome crucified Jesus, they were making a public statement. And by the way, Jesus as well was making a public statement by choosing and willingly giving himself to go to the cross to die for our sins. That was a public statement. But nobody was crucified in private. You were crucified publicly. And I think about Paul saying, I have been crucified with Christ. That says that our life of service to God should be public. It should be seen by others. And Jesus wants us to choose him publicly as well. Someone said, there's no such thing as a secret disciple, because either the secrecy will destroy the discipleship, or the discipleship will destroy the secrecy. There's a lot of truth to that, because in some matters, to not make a choice is really to make another. And what I mean by that is, if you go to the doctor and the doctor says, you know, you're sick and you have this disease and here's this medicine and you need to take it every day of your life. If you don't take this medicine, you're going to die. Well, if you go home and you say, well, I didn't really like the way that doctor, you know, I don't like the way he talked to me. And so I'm not going to choose to take the medicine. Well, you're making a choice. You're making the choice to die. By not making a choice, we are making a choice. There is no neutral ground in our service to the Lord. Jesus would say this in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 30. Whoever is not with me is against me. To say that, well, I'm just not going to choose to serve the Lord today or obey the Lord today. Listen, you are making a choice. I love how Joshua stands up as he addresses this congregation. And he publicly expresses the intentions of his house, of his life, and his family. No one wondered about it. No one wondered about that. I think it reminds us that this is not a secret society. That we should let our lights shine. That if we've truly decided to serve the Lord, then we shouldn't live in secrecy. We shouldn't be afraid to voice our decision, to voice our choice that we are going to serve the Lord. Have you made that stand? Have you made that choice? I read about General Sherman. He made his infamous march to the sea. And he just brought destruction everywhere he went. He was just burning houses down, burning everything down that they came across. And as they were traveling, I think it was through Georgia, they came across this farmhouse. And as they came to the farmhouse, there was this older lady that was standing on the porch, and she had a broom in her hand. And General Sherman said, "You need to gather all your belongings, miss. We're going to burn your house down." And she said, "I'm not leaving." Sherman pointed to the smoke behind him and said, "Listen, you don't have a choice in the matter. We're going to burn your house down. You need to gather your belongings." She just gripped that broom tighter and tighter and tighter. And she said, "I'm not leaving." And Sherman said, looked and said, "Do you really think that you can defeat us? Do you really think you can take us and stop us with that broomstick?" And she said, "No, sir. I just want the world to know where I stand. I want the world to know which side I'm on." I think, what a spirit. That's the kind of attitude that we need to have. That we're not going to waver back and forth, but we're going to live in such a way where the people around us, there's no question that we're living our lives for God. Joshua lived that way. He stood up in front of his family, the people who knew him best, and he said, "I'm choosing God." And then he asked the people to do the very same thing. Look at Joshua chapter 24. He tells them to make the choice, and the people answered in verse 16, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our fathers up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did these great signs in our sight, preserved us all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed." But drop down to verse 19. Joshua said to the people, "You are not able to serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive the transgression of your sins." He's calling them once again. Are you sure you want to make this choice? This is a choice that you need to live with. But look at verse 23. He said, "Then put away the foreign gods that are among you and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey." I want us to understand today that there comes a point in time in our life, and I believe that time is now, where we need to stand up in front of our family, stand up in front of our friends, and say, "I am serving the Lord and will listen to his voice." It's time for us to go public. The leaders of this congregation, the elders and the deacons, the preachers need to stand up and say, "We will serve the Lord and obey him." Fathers, it's time for you to express to your family in your house that we are going to serve the Lord. Teenagers, it's time for you to make a stand and to say, "I am going to serve the Lord no matter what. I'm going to listen to his voice. I will obey his voice." Those of you in college and single, there's tremendous pressure. There's tremendous pressure for you to just give up and throw away your purity. It is time for you today to say, "I am going to serve the Lord and listen to his voice and follow his will for my life." It is time to throw away the idols and raise up God. Will you make that choice today? It's time for us today. As for me and my house, can we sing that song again? Daryl, can you put that up? I think we ought to sing that song again. After looking at this, I think we ought to sing this as the invitation song once again. And let's publicly say, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I don't know what everybody else is doing. I'm praying that you're going to make the choice. I'm praying that you will publicly stand up and say, "I'm going to serve the Lord. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And Joshua 24, at the end of verse 28, it says, "So Joshua sent the people away, every man to his inheritance." I love how that says that in verse 28. Sends them away, every man to his inheritance. Once they put the monument down, once they drop the post down and they draw the line in the sand and say, "We're going to serve the Lord," Joshua sends them away to their inheritance. I think that's a great thing for us to consider. Let's make our choice and then let's press on to the inheritance that God has promised that we will receive. You want to know what the inheritance is? Read the scripture. It's a great, wonderful inheritance that's available to everyone that chooses to serve the Lord. Will you do that this morning? Maybe you need to make the choice today to draw the line in the sand and say, I'm giving up my old way of life. It's time for me to crucify myself. And it's time for me to be baptized in water for the remission of my sins. It's time for me to have my sins washed away through the blood of Christ. Maybe you need to make that choice. Or maybe today it's just time for you to say, in 2019, we will serve the Lord. Let's say that this morning. If we can help you in any way, let's come to the front right now while we stand and sing.